You know, there was always talk, always articles being written about, you know, people over the age of 50 starting their businesses and being successful in this and that and the other thing. And there was always talk, as I say, about these companies or people that had started their business, but there wasn't anything to tell anybody how to do it. And with what I do here in Canada, there was that problem. And we also were told here that we will never amount to anything as older entrepreneurs. And so I actually, before I wrote the book, ran these 50 over 50 awards to recognize and celebrate 50 Canadian entrepreneurs who started a business after the age of 50, because I needed to prove them wrong.
Welcome to the Repurpose Your Career podcast, brought to you by Career Pivot. This podcast is where those of us in the second half of life come together to discuss how to repurpose our careers for the 21st century. Come listen to career experts give you proven strategies, listen to people like you tell their stories on how they repurpose their careers, and finally, get your questions answered. Your host, Mark Miller, has made six career pivots over the last 30 years. He understands this is not about jumping out of the frying pan into a fire, but rather to create a plan where you make clear, actionable steps or pivots to a better future career. Are you ready to repurpose your career?
Welcome to episode 180 of the Repurpose Your Career podcast. My name is Mark Miller, and I'll be your host every Monday for discussion on what it's like to repurpose your career. For the last couple of months, I've been focusing the podcast episodes on the COVID-19 pandemic, the economic impact, how to deal with the stress, and simply staying sane. Last week, we finished the Can Phil Repurposes Career series. For the next few episodes, I want to focus on what we can do as we move out of lockdown. This week, I have Wendy Mayhew, author of Wiser, the Definitive Guide to Starting a Business After the Age of 50. This is a book that will help you decide whether entrepreneurship is for you. It's not just a book, but it also includes an excellent set of audio interviews with 29 experts. Let me read you Wendy's bio. Author Wendy Mayhew has been an entrepreneur for 40 years. Her most recent businesses are Wise Seniors in Business and Wise 50 over 50 Awards. Wise Senior in Business was formed to change how older entrepreneurs are perceived and to guide wannabe older entrepreneurs on deciding if entrepreneurship is a form for them. Wendy has quickly become Canada's leading expert on older entrepreneurship. She has done extensive research and understands the challenges facing this newest and fastest growing group of entrepreneurs. Wendy's is sought after speaker and workshop facilitator by business organizations, now starting to realize the importance of serving this newest group of entrepreneurs. Seeing the gap of information available to older entrepreneurs, Wendy authored Wiser, the Definitive Guide to Starting a Business After the Age of 50, to assist this group of new entrepreneurs in starting their business. Wendy also offers assistance and guiding to help business organizations set up programs specific to new entrepreneurs starting business later in life. The Wise 50 over 50 Awards recognize and celebrate Canadian entrepreneurs over the age of 50, with the support of well over 100 Canadian organizations sharing information on the awards throughout their networks. The 50 over 50 Awards has generated awareness to the most under-supported and underserved group of new entrepreneurs in Canada. Before we get to the episode, let's have a word from our sponsor, Career Pivot. The Career Pivot membership community continues to help the approximately 50 members who are participating in this project to grow and thrive. This is a community where everyone is there to help everyone else out. This is a group of like-minded souls where over half are over 60 and a third are over 65 who are working to figure out what they want to do in the second half of life and then make it happen. I've priced this very affordable for anyone. Do not let financial considerations get in the way. I am recruiting new members for the next cohort. If you are interested in learning more about the endeavor, please go to careerpivot.com/community. Now, on to my interview with Wendy. I hope you enjoy this episode. Welcome to the Repurpose Your Career podcast. I have the real joy of having Wendy Mayhew. She is the author of Wiser, the definitive guide to starting a business after the age of 50. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you ever so much for having me, Mark. I look forward to doing this with you.
Well, as we talked beforehand, I said, I wish I had this book when I got started. So what was the impetus behind writing this book?
You know, there was always talk, always articles being written about, you know, people over the age of 50 starting their businesses and being successful in this and that and the other thing. And there was always talk, as I say, about these companies or people that have started their business, but there wasn't anything to tell anybody how to do it. And with what I do here in Canada, there was that problem. And we also were told here that we will never amount to anything as older entrepreneurs. And so I actually, before I wrote the book, ran these 50 over 50 awards to recognize and celebrate 50 Canadian entrepreneurs who started a business after the age of 50, because I needed to prove them wrong. I also found that whenever I was trying to find support for these people, people were then started being interested in offering the support. There still aren't many that are doing any programs, but governments, all levels of government right now, don't recognize us. They don't offer any support. There isn't this, there isn't that. And so I decided, okay, you're not doing anything about it. I'm going to do something about it. And because this wasn't only a Canadian problem, it was a global problem. And so when I decided to write the book, I'm a firm believer that you have to have someone else offer advice because you can't know everything about everything. And so I reached out to people around the world who had expertise in specific topics. And that was the way I brought it into being a global book. And it is being very well received. It really is. It's something that was needed. And that's why I did it.
Yeah, one of the things that I liked about the book was it doesn't tell me detail how to do everything, but it gets me in the right frame of mind. And I've had the same similar problem with my book, is if people just read the book and don't go to the online resources and do the exercises, then you can read it in an hour and a half.
And that's very similar to my book, right? And I didn't want a book to be telling you what to do, because I never agree with anybody telling anybody to do anything. It's guiding you. And that's, this will give you, and I always tell this whenever I'm talking to anyone, that it gives you an idea of whether, a good idea of whether entrepreneurship is something that you want to do. You know, do you want to become an entrepreneur, or is this what's in the book making you fearful of what the path is? And my neighbors are in that. Okay. I gave them the book and was talking to them one day, and he said, boy, oh boy, I had no idea. I had no idea what all was involved in starting a business. So the book actually just, okay, gives you the information you need. And if they are then interested, they're going to go and listen to all of those interviews that I did with the contributors to the book, and give some more detail and, you know, explains how things should be done and whatnot. But again, it's not telling you, it's just explaining and guiding.
The other thing I liked about the book is the fact that you almost go full life cycle. What no one ever talks about is planning what you're going to do when you're done. I was in a meetup group in Austin for the longest time, and we would bring in people about exit strategies. And sometimes you exit when you don't plan on, like things, people die. And but thinking about that, plus you offer some alternatives like buying a franchise, buying an existing business. So who would be an ideal reader for this book?
That's interesting what you're saying. Everybody that's an entrepreneur, that's what people are saying. Why did you put this? Why the 50 plus? This is good for anyone. And I'm going, well, yes, it is good for everyone. But there had to be something that addressed the 50 plus group. I don't think, and I could be wrong in this, but I don't believe that if there's a book out there, so there's two books on the shelves, on the shelf, and one is for entrepreneurship. Okay, then there's going to be one that is for the 50 plus. Which one are you going to go to? You're going to go to the one that is for you, for your demographic. And there are things in that book that are just specific to the 50 plus group. And, you know, I always say the transitioning from employee to entrepreneur, stepping out of your comfort zone. And, you know, I mean, we'll talk about the virtual book tour, but you know, the next one is going to be talking about networking. So, those are things that, yes, younger people or people of all ages may have some difficulty doing it, but it isn't going to be, I don't think, anyways, the level of difficulty that older people may have. And I don't like the word difficult. I shouldn't be saying difficult, but they might find it a bit challenging.
Well, one of the big things is the mindset shift. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've had John Warner and Paul Tasner, who are both in your book on this podcast. I've also had both of them come into my online community. And one of the things I claim is, and I'm born in the mid 1950s baby boomer, I was raised to be an employee, to go work for a father-like company that would take care of me. And after 30 or 40 years, I would ride off into the sunset and retire with my pension. Well, they moved my cheese.
That's interesting, because I was brought up in my whole family, almost all of us, there's five of us, and we are all somehow, either through spouses or otherwise, own businesses. And so I have a sister, my brother, and I. So there's three out of the five. And then two other sisters were married to entrepreneurs. So it's just all in our whole family. And my dad, he was in the cattle business. I was born in the 50s too, okay? So, but he was in the cattle business and he did this all on his own. And then he went on to real estate. And, you know, he was always basically self-employed. So it was in our blood, it was in our veins. I can't think of doing anything other than owning my own business. I know early on, I found out early on that I could not work for somebody else. I just couldn't. I couldn't follow the rules. I couldn't follow the micromanaging. I couldn't follow not having a say in anything. And so I'm glad I started my own business.
Yeah, that's one of the transition points of going and working for yourself. And once you've done it, you can't go back.
Nope.
And so, yeah, it's interesting. My father was, World War II veteran. Both my parents grew up through the Depression. They wanted safety. And to a large extent, they ingrained in most of my generation the need for not taking risks. So what I loved was the various different interviews you did, because it's not just the book. So was there any particular one that you found particularly, that people find particularly useful?
So far, no, because I think they're all giving good information. I do know that from my first virtual book tour event that they certainly loved having Paul Tasner on it, because it was so interesting to have him, I wanted somebody as the moderator to be able to be in this world that we're in, and going through the book and the challenges that he's facing, that all of us face whenever we first started our businesses. So, but no, there hasn't been any, just one that Paul isn't a contributor to the book, but one chapter that anyone has said anything to me about yet.
I will add a link to the first book tour event in the show notes.
Thank you.
Because Wendy, I attended that, I guess, a week or so ago, and it was very good. And the fact that you weren't moderating it, you had Paul and you had some really good guests on. And so what do you think is the biggest challenge to people over 50 saying, okay, I'm going to go start my own business?
Don't jump into it. Do your research. Talk to people. And continue to talk to people. Just talk and talk and talk. Do not stop talking. Do not stop asking for advice. And in some cases, yes, obviously you listen. But, you know, somebody's going to say, oh, that's a stupid idea. That'll never work. Well, yes, that's going to be discouraging. But if that's what your heart is really set on, go back to that person and say, okay, well, I really like this idea. What do you think I need to do to make it better? And that is the whole thing. And I, you know, I may be criticized for what I'm going to about to say, but you know, it's you, it's your thoughts, it's your idea. You have to decide whether you're going to move forward with it or not. And it's entirely up to you. Most people dive in without knowing, though. That's the thing. You can't dive in without knowing what you're going up against. So talk to people. Read my book.
Well, it's interesting. In my book, I have a chapter on MSU disorder. MSU stands for make stuff up.
love it.
Well, we all do it. And one thing I also talk to people about is you need to stop and listen, but you also know who to listen to.
That's right. Exactly. You have to pick those people.
Because you are going to go people going, oh, that's so risky. I have a mastermind group called What's Next in my online community. And we went through a series of sessions around risk and how we view risk. We all view risk differently. Mm-hmm. But if you don't get outside of your own head, you can look at something. I've talked about in my career, I've done some very risky things that I didn't view as risky. And there are other things that I viewed as very risky that weren't risky at all.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm an example of somebody that didn't seek advice, and it was a big risk. I didn't take it as a risk, but it was a big risk. And basically I was put in a situation that we didn't go bankrupt, but it was awful. It was really, really bad. My husband actually had to leave Ottawa to go and find work someplace else to support us while I made it through this. And I did say, we were in debt up to our house was almost paid for, but we had to remortgage our house. And I vowed that I would have all debts paid off within 5 years. And I did it in 3, because I was determined. I had made a huge mistake, and I was the one that had to repair it. I had to, you know, I mean, it was tough. We had 2 young kids at the time. Well, actually, they weren't young. They were teenagers. And at that rebellious stage, with my husband away 4 days of the week. And so it was tough, but I made it through it. And I made the decision that the only way I was going to make money was be my own boss again. And I did. During that time, I had to go and work for people. And the nice thing about that I was very marketable. I wasn't looking for a job. They were looking for me. And what happened with that is, so I was recruited by this one company, and I went into this, it was a communications company, as a salesperson, and there was this problem of always getting paid. And I'm going, okay, this is ridiculous. Like, they would pay me, but I worked on commission. They didn't want to pay me a commission. I needed the money. They didn't want to do it. I ended up just saying, okay, fine. No, the boss came over one day and he said, I was talking to the accountant, and he said, whoever doesn't like it here, leave. I went and I packed up my box, you know, put everything in a box and went over to him. And I said, Bob, I'm leaving. He said, yeah, probably a good idea, Wendy. And him and I remained friends for a very, very long time after that. He was a great guy. And anyways, it ended up that I left with a contract that they never had me do anything with, you know, any paperwork of, you know, non-disclosure, or, you know, couldn't non-compete. And so I called a client the next day and said, hey, I'm not there. Just wondering what you're going to do with that contract. And she said, why didn't you tell me this yesterday? And she said, I just told them that they go ahead with the contract. And I said, why don't you call them back and tell them that you want to give it to me? And she did. She called them back. She said, I don't like how you treated Wendy. Give her the job. I'm giving a job to her. And that's how I started my business. And it was, you know, quite a number of years ago. And it was a good contract to start with. I think it was a $25,000 contract. And then it just became such a fantastic business. It was awesome. And I was running it all myself, working with contractors.
I want to pivot the conversation slightly. What in my online community, when I got started, the three things that everybody wanted was freedom, mm-hmm. which is one thing when you go work for yourself, there's the freedom, both which is both good and bad.
Yep.
Two, accountability. Mm-hmm. But three, they needed their horizons broadened.
Absolutely.
And this again comes down to keep talking to people, because there's so many things that you can do today in business that you couldn't do just 5 years mm-hmm. ago.
There is definitely.
You talk about the lean canvas, the business planning. I like the fact that you said the business plan isn't the most important thing. The customer plan is the most important thing.
Yeah, it is.
Which means you need to have gotten out and talked to your prospective customers.
If you don't have customers, you don't have a business, right? It's just that. And you have to, like, it's kind of like you and I, Mark, we're having this conversation today, and then we never have another conversation. Like, it's just, you don't do that. You build relationships with these customers, share with them, talk to them. If they have a problem, gosh, get back to them. I found there was someone last night that sent me an email after I had gone to bed that I saw this morning, that they didn't know how to get into the interviews. I felt terrible that I didn't respond to them until this morning, because they could have been in a different time zone or something like that. Like, it's just, and you really have to embrace that customer service. I've had customer service for years and years and years. It's the main thing that you have in your business. You keep a customer happy, they'll be there for quite a long time.
It's rather interesting. I have a guy in my online community who, Gene, he started a business helping small construction owners grow their business. And he started out with a bookkeeping service. Mm-hmm. He says, everyone needs bookkeeping. And the first customer he landed, he did an evaluation. The guy says, I don't need help with my bookkeeping. My books are fine. And he went in and did an evaluation and found out the books were crap. Mm-hmm. And this is a discussion we had with John Warner, was learning how to talk to people mm-hmm. and asking the right questions mm-hmm. rather than, well, everyone knows you need good books. Well, these guys don't know they need good books. If there's one thing you want the reader to walk away from this book, what would that be?
That it has helped them make the decision on whether they really want to take the next step into entrepreneurship. I don't want anyone jumping into it, especially, you know, we're in that world now with the COVID-19. It's fair to say that, you know, a lot of people are going to be scrambling because they don't have a job anymore. What are they, and they need the income. What are they going to do? So I think that the book is very timely, not that it was supposed to be this timely. But, you know, read it, find out if you really want to move forward. And, you know, again, it goes back, talk to people, and don't be afraid to ask for help, because entrepreneurs like to help other entrepreneurs. And, you know, so yeah, that's what I just want to leave them with is, you know, explore it. If it's for you, it's for you. If it's not, I think that the investment has probably been good enough to help you make that decision.
Like I said at the beginning, I wish I had had this book at the beginning, because it helped me think through things better. I still would have done it, because I was in my mid-50s and I was done working for the man.
Yeah.
I'd just come out of my second tech startup, we weren't rich, but I had what you refer to as FU money. Mm-hmm. And I was sick of the toxic culture. And I worked for a sociopath. Oh. And I said, I'm not doing this again.
No, don't blame you.
And so, so if someone wanted to reach out and touch you and wanted to get a copy of your book, how might they do that?
So I'm selling it on my website. So it's wiseseniorsinbusiness.com. And you can buy either the ebooks or you can buy the print version. And if you're in Canada, I send the print versions right from my location. And if not, I have someone that delivers the books for me for around the world. Locations around the world for printing, yeah.
So what's your website?
Okay, so it's www.wise-seniorsinbusiness.com.
Well, Wendy, thank you very much for being on the Repurpose Your Career podcast.
Thank you ever so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Hope you enjoyed that episode. As I said several times in the interview, I wish I had had this book when I got started. When Wendy first sent me the book around the first of the year, I read through it and went, eh. The accompanying website and audio interviews were not available yet. I went back to the book a couple of weeks ago after attending Wendy's first virtual book tour, and I was so impressed. I went back and reread the book, and more important, listened to several of the interviews and was now blown away. Feel free to contact with me on LinkedIn. Look for Career Pivot on Facebook and LinkedIn. You'll also find me on Twitter at Career Pivot. Thank you for listening all the way to the end of the Repurpose Your Career podcast. You will find all the show notes at careerpivot.com/episode-180. Please hop over to careerpivot.com and subscribe to get updates to this podcast and all the other happenings at Career Pivot. You can subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, Podbeam, Overcast, Spotify, and Pandora. I hope to see you next Monday for another episode of Repurpose Your Career podcast.